From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, April 3rd. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis poet Paul Teal's new book looks back on a colorful life. One poem recalls his view of the Stonewall Uprising of 1969, which led to the modern gay rights movement.
Something was up. A large, noisy crowd in the street, some yelling, "Get the pigs!" and throwing pennies at the door of the local gay bar.
A memoir told through poems about beatniks, hippies, and Andy Warhol. After this news on The Gateway. Communities in Missouri and Illinois are cleaning up after yesterday's severe storms and several tornadoes. The National Weather Service says this morning two teams of damage surveyors will be deployed to investigate the damage near Potosi, Missouri and Greenville, Illinois. And today, a flood watch is in effect into Saturday for the St. Louis and Rolla areas. STLPR Sarah Fenton reports the heaviest rains are expected in the afternoons and evenings tonight and tomorrow and on Saturday morning.
According to the National Weather Service in St. Louis, bands of precipitation are moving across the Midwest. Those storms could bring baseball-sized hail, floods, high winds, and tornado risks. Weather forecasters say there will be some breaks in the rain in the next couple days. Weather Service meteorologist Jason Goslin says the dry month of March could help prevent some flooding.
And the good news is that, you know, that means the soils are more receptive to rainfall, but that only really helps us out kind of with, you know, this first round.
The heaviest rainfall is expected in southeast Missouri, around Cape Girardeau, and southern Illinois, around Carbondale. Forecasters remind motorists, do not drive on flooded roads. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The baseball exhibition team, the Savannah Bananas, has postponed its two-game series at Busch Stadium because of expected storms this weekend. City tourism officials say more than 200,000 people entered the lottery to get tickets to Friday and Saturday's Banana Ball games. The two sold-out games are rescheduled for July. Explore St. Louis Vice President Catherine Neville says the organization is recommending Banana Ball tourists check out other sports instead.
It is still an epic weekend of sports in St. Louis. There is the Blues game they're playing on Saturday. The Battlehawks home opener is taking place on Sunday, and both of those venues obviously are enclosed.
The Savannah Bananas is a touring team that emphasizes fan participation, stunts, and dancing. Overall crime in the city of St. Louis is down by 28% compared to the first quarter of last year, according to a report from the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley reports.
The mayor's office and police officials for the last few years have highlighted a decline in crime in St. Louis. Police say in the first 3 months of this year, homicides dropped to their lowest level since 2005. Police Chief Robert Tracy says one death is too many and that the drop is due to many collaborations.
That's public trust, great work by our detectives, great front-end work by our officers on the scene, collected the evidence, and then also our crime analysts, our 911 operators that get us to those scenes.
Police also reported that robberies, burglaries, and auto thefts are also down from the same quarter last year. Five people, including juveniles, were arrested over the weekend after a spike in robberies last week. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
President Donald Trump tapped former Missouri Republican Party Chairman Ed Martin to join him in the Capitol as U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C. But that nomination is being held up in the Senate. Martin is still getting support from Missouri Senators Eric Schmidt and Josh Hawley, as STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
California Senator Adam Schiff placed a hold on Martin's nomination to be Washington, D.C.'s U.S. attorney, meaning he won't be able to get confirmed quickly. That comes as Schmidt said he would support Martin's nomination last month.
We haven't had him in front of the Judiciary Committee yet, but I think that's a very important position. I would support it.
Hawley says Martin is a disruptor who could help fight crime in D.C.
His passion, his drive, his disruption can be really helpful in court prosecuting these people.
Martin has faced criticism for, among other things, threatening to prosecute people who interfere with billionaire Elon Musk's government-cutting efforts. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House has passed legislation to restrict cell phone use in schools. Members voted 132 to 11 to pass the bill, which includes several education provisions. Through the legislation, school districts must create a policy on cell phone use that would be adopted in the 2026-2027 school year. Republican Representative Jamie Gregg is the sponsor of the bill, and he said this policy was initially presented to him by one of his former teachers.
She had already put together her own cell phone policy, and she noticed that after 2 years, her classroom scores had skyrocketed, not only in test scores, but also in homework scores.
The policy must include barring students from using cell phones during, quote, regularly scheduled instructional activities and mealtimes. Some Metro East school boards will see new leadership after Tuesday night's election. As St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports, the changes come as school districts navigate increasing financial uncertainty.
A new crop of school board members in both Edwardsville and East Alton will take their seats this year. One issue they will need to tackle is a tightened district budget, due in part to depleted federal funds, increased payroll costs, and lower student enrollment. Scott Ahart is currently a board member for the Edwardsville Community School District and is projected to retain his seat.
We're moving into uncharted waters with the current administration, so that's going to require people to really dig into what's happening, because funding is going to be a big thing that can affect not just our school district, but all school districts.
The board voted last month to dismiss 16 district teachers because of a budget shortfall and potential cuts to federal funding. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Behavioral health care is at the top of the list of wellness concerns among people in the St. Louis region. That's according to the latest community health needs assessment done by several regional health providers, including SSM Health, BJC Healthcare, and St. Luke's Hospital. Not-for-profit health systems are required to conduct the survey every 3 years in compliance with the Affordable Care Act. Dr. Eric Macias is SSM Health Chief Medical Officer for Behavioral Health in the St. Louis region. He says stigma plays a major role in why people do not address their mental health.
Not only the person is ashamed for other people, but they're ashamed to acknowledge to themselves that they may have problems with depression, with mood instability, with anxiety, drinking too much, using drugs. So the first step is to overcome that issue.
He was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. Two St. Louis chefs are finalists for prestigious food awards. The James Beard Foundation named Jane Sacro-Chatham a nominee for Emerging Chef, a nationwide category. She's at farm-to-table restaurant Vicia in the Central West End. The foundation also recognized Lauren Nalich in the category of Best Chef Midwest. She's chef and co-owner of Balkan Treat Box in Webster Groves, which serves Balkan-inspired dishes. It's the second time Nalich has made the finalist list for the James Beard Awards. The women are among several local hospitality pros and restaurants that had made the semi-finalist list. You can read more about all of them at stlpr.org.
Hey, it's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson, your afternoon newscaster here at St. Louis Public Radio. Keep podcasts like The Gateway thriving by becoming a member of St. Louis Public Radio today. Your monthly donation ensures that your community stays informed and has access to fact-based local and national news. Give right now at stlpr.org, and thanks.
St. Louis and Paul Thiel pursued a doctorate in geology before deciding he'd rather be a minor poet than a major scientist. He lived the artist's life for 20 years, brushing across some of the great writers and artists of his time. Thiel's book, Snapshots, is his memoir, told through poems. They describe his run-ins with Allen Ginsberg, Andy Warhol, and others, and how he accidentally influenced a budding rock legend. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin's conversation with Thiel included the poet describing the San Francisco house where he lived in the late 60s.
It had been an Irish rooming house. The guy who bought it had his nephew populate it with people. And then his little brother, Peter Alban, formed a group, Big Brother and the Holding Company, and they found a singer who would jam in the basement. And I would turn on Don Giovanni, full blast to drown her out, not appreciating rock music.
Let's hear some of your poem about that house on Page Street.
Dingy inside the building, my room was perfect for poetry. I wrote lines on the walls, mattress on the floor, books scattered about, and my old record player stood in a place of honor in the corner. The noise emanating from rock bands jamming down there was jarring. One singer especially. I found a recording by Garnett Mims, Cry, Cry, Baby. Played it over and over to drown out that voice. Turned out to be Janis Joplin. Still noisy, but later I enjoyed her. Why not? 1090 Page, gone now. Tacky apartments instead.
So, Cry Baby, that was your little message to Janis to ask her to quiet down?
She did get the message. She wound up recording it, and it's one of her hits.
So by 69, you're in New York full-time?
Yeah, and that's when the Stonewall thing occurred.
Paul, could we hear some of a poem about Stonewall?
That night, I'd been to the lively East Village, returning home to the unexciting West one. When, to my amazement, something was up. A large, noisy crowd in the street. Some yelling, "Get the pigs!" and throwing pennies at the door of the local gay bar, where drag queens danced joyously. As it was around the corner from my abode, I was more than familiar with the place. "What's happening?" I asked. "The police came in a raid like they always do and tried to arrest a dyke. We finally fought back. You can't take our sister." And we marched out. They're barricaded inside like scaredy cats. The uproar outside elicited a crowd of villagers and tourists ready for the street entertainment. The day the gays fought back.
And when you're in New York, one of the people you'd see around sometimes was Andy Warhol?
Yeah. He would all of a sudden, he'd appear with a few friends, but he would never say a word. His friends would talk among themselves, but Andy didn't say much. And I saw him many, many times. In fact, once I had heard from one of his superstars, who's also a friend of mine, that Andy was thinking about making me one of his superstars. But then he saw me selling poems on the street like a common beggar, and he thought that was tacky. And so he didn't make me a superstar.
That was poet Paul Teal speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Teal will read from his book at the Kirkwood Public Library Saturday. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.